Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our roundtable this Sunday, February 21st, 2016. Our subject is mind, and the golden text is in Matthew. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So I'll first ask Florence. Florence, is there something you'd like to start with today?
Oh, it's just a few things I read about mind. I mean, that we should rely on mind to do everything. And whether we're feeling, you know, that we have our dominion or we're in subjection depends on what mind we're claiming to be our mind.
Yeah, thank you. I read that in Big Del Young today, too. I was going to end with some of his ideas about mind, and he does say to rely on mind for everything. And I was going to ask you all, because we talk about the one mind, perhaps this is the most difficult thing to see and to express. I know there is only the one mind, and there are not many minds. So I'd like to talk about today, to make this practical application, is how do you demonstrate that one mind? How do you stay in it? I mean, the lesson is full of suggestions, and I'd like to emphasize science and health today, since we did talk about it, Joseph, yesterday. Thank you, Linda, and everyone who participated and joined us. Joseph was certainly an example of being in that one mind, and as Florence just said, he relied on mind for everything, didn't he? So, how do you stay in that one mind? How do you maintain that? What's that all about? What does it mean to you?
Well, here we've learned to start every day with God is mine, God is my mind, God is the only pure and perfect mind, and that's something that I've learned to do since I've come here, and I have to do it constantly throughout the day. Sometimes I'll feel my thought getting off track, and I go right back to that. And to me, it's just that constant communication with God, reminding myself that all of my ideas come from Him, my intelligence comes from Him, my wisdom comes from Him, everything that I do comes from Him. So it's always going to Him for the answer to everything.
Thank you. One of the perfect ways to start this is to declare you've got that one mind first thing in the morning and keep declaring it. Even if you feel like you don't, you keep declaring you do. There's one other thing to begin with, and what is that? And it's also in the lesson. You feel you don't have it, what should you do?
Ask for it.
Ask for it. Ask for it. Have you, any of you ever asked for it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Ava asked for it. Me and Benjamin just came, so he's laughing. Ava, is it? So, yeah. Don't ever feel left out or that you don't have it or that there's something wrong with you or you can't get it. Ask for it, for heaven's sake. It says that in the Bible, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Any of you lack wisdom?
Any of you lack wisdom?
Let him ask of God.
Ask.
Yes.
But giveth to all men liberally.
And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So those are two key things in demonstrating this one mind. One is definitely asking for it. The other is to declare that you have it, as Dede said, and then, as Dede also said, to be going to it throughout your day, to rely on God for everything. So What else? I mean, this is tricky, isn't it? Don't you see many minds all the time? I mean, we can say all these things, but I want to really dig deep now and get it where you're really feeling that you're in that mind.
Well, after I declare one mind in the morning, I've got it so I say also, there is no mortal mind. The opposite. Mortal mind is just the opposite.
Well, good. That's good.
Another thing that helps me is this idea of a humble mind. Is if I'm feeling rather good about having the one mind, I'm not listening very well. And I'm not hearing. I think this is the biggest thing about this inner communication between from God to man is humility and listening. Otherwise, you're not going to hear it. And for me, that's the only way to have this spiritual understanding. And like in number 10 in Science and Health, spiritual sense is the discernment of spiritual good. Understanding is the line of demarcation between the real and unreal. I'm not humble. I'm not going to hear that distinction between the real and unreal.
Thank you. That is extremely important.
And it is the humility that makes you keep going back, because you never feel like, oh, yeah, I got it now, I'm off. You know, so the humility.
Thank you. That's absolutely right. It's the humility that keeps you going back.
And
humble servant of the restful mind.
Yes. Mrs. Eddy, thank you.
Yeah, and that's kind of a parallel to starting out with God. God is my mind. God is the only mind. The parallel to that is without that mind, I'm nothing. I'm worse than nothing without that mind.
Thank you. Mrs. Eddy started her day with God is mind, my mind, and all my moments are his. It was Bill in Ohio that told me that second part of it, which I think is quite beautiful. All my moments are his, to give yourself to him, and that is with great humility. How do you know when pride is creeping in?
Thinking I, me.
Yes, definitely. Well, what if there's some correction? What if you have been corrected in some way? I mean, we all get it at work, at home, church, everywhere.
You might try to justify yourself.
Yep.
Being defensive.
Being defensive. That's a good sign. So, if you feel that way, when you're corrected, it shows the pride is rearing up. And as we spoke yesterday about Joseph never being offended, good Lord, he was accused of all kinds of things. And he was never offended. He just kept taking that high road. And what does Mrs. Eddy say to do if you are rebuked or corrected?
You take it.
If there's any truth in it, I'll use it and go on. And if not, I'll drop it. That's on the exact quote.
Right.
Did everyone hear that?
Yes.
Good. And Florence, were you going to say something?
No, that's what I was going to say. You take it or you drop it.
Right. And you can also be grateful for it, that someone cared enough to speak to you about anything. That's why Love Your Enemies is such a masterpiece, because she says that your enemies, they're the ones that might be giving you a hard time or pointing out your faults or whatever, but those experiences are what cause you to grow. Rather than, you know, a friend who's just telling you how great you are all the time.
That's always truth in every correction. The problem. The problem of when it wasn't, when it's not taken properly, when or when it's not received properly, it's usually back the way before. If it's misspoken, the person who is given the correction. Some people don't actually know how to give correction, even when they are actually getting the instruction from God, but the way they pass it on to somebody, the pride can come from the person who is giving the correction. And the person receiving the correction, if he's given with pride, and the person who's going to receive him may not receive him because he was given with pride, but when the person giving the correction and the person receiving it are both in one mind, I think the message will come across. Just as Joseph said in the lesson, when Pharaoh called him to interpret the dream, and the first thing he told Pharaoh was, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So he has taken away the pride from his own end, knowing that it was God that is giving him the message to pass along to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, on the other end, was very humble to receive it, and the message came across.
Right. In any time you are meeting with anyone, or if you have to give a correction, or you have to take a correction, get back to that sense of the one mind, God working and God operating, and that personal sense. Don't put a wall up, because if you put the wall up, you block the good from coming through and getting the blessing. And thank you. Benjamin started out saying there's usually some truth to any correction, and that's often true. There is some truth. There's something you can learn. Maybe there's something you didn't do we could have done better. And, you know, don't you know, a lot of people speak about in school when you had a really tough teacher, they were the ones that what?
You remember the best.
You remember the best. And you were getting a lot of corrections, and you're probably learning a lot by those corrections. And so it's something to be very grateful.
I was talking to our Wednesday organist, his name is Jim, and he says, you know, these difficult experiences come with dividends. And he went on to say that it makes no sense at all to complain about them. After all, there's something to gain from them. Who knows what, but there's something there.
It's wonderful. He's a very, very sweet, Christly man, our Wednesday organist.
And humble.
And humble is why he plays so well. And also in the lesson, Mrs. Eddy says, in a world of sin and sensuality hastening to a greater development of power, it is wise to earnestly to consider whether it is the human mind or the divine mind which is influencing one. Another point of how to test whether you're in the right mind or not. Ask yourself, how are you being influenced? Test it. And when you listen to someone speak, Is it God speaking, or are you being influenced by a human opinion?
I think also if we are talking, you know, if we are hearing ourselves all negatives about ourselves, we should stop and ask, you know, what's influencing me right now? I mean, a claim might come up, and if we admit it and go in with it, we should stop a minute and say, wait a second, what is influencing me right now? Is, you know, like it's been said here over and over, is truth saying this? You know, am I in the right mind here doing this to myself?
Right, right.
I've had to do it. It helped. It just woke me up. Wait a second.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's what we all should be doing regularly. I mean, when you think about it, if you start each day by acknowledging, listen, there is a divine mind that created this whole, created us, created everything around us, created this whole universe, governing everything. And that force, that powerful force that has created everything and governs everything, is actually good. It loves us. It cares for us. Why would it ever want anything bad to happen to us? For heaven's sake, it doesn't. And when you start out that way each day, why would you ever want to go anywhere else for help but to that one creator that created everything? And if something comes up that tells you that something is wrong, evil, well, then you know better. You go back to the basics. Mind that created us is good and loves us.
In the watch that we had last night, it says something very similar, that the mind that created all mankind also gave us Christian Science. The same mind did for the revelation. Therefore, how can there be opposition and resistance to it? So when you see the opposition and resistance to it, what are you in fact seeing?
Human mind pictures.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah.
Counterfeit. The lie.
Right.
Yes. So if you are having that in your experience, work with that. The same mind that created everyone and everywhere gave us the revelation of Christian Science. It's within everyone. It's the truth. It's natural. It's normal. So how can there be resistance to it? A lot of times, and Mrs. Wilcox says this, the resistance is within us because we're seeing the other person as resistant. And you can declare that you were in the one mind till you're blue in the face, but if you see everyone else in the wrong mind, what are you doing?
You are in the wrong mind, too.
You've
done
all your work.
If you acknowledge anyway that there is another mind anywhere, then you're sunk.
And you see, that's the tricky part.
It is tricky.
Yeah, it's easy enough to say it for yourself, and sometimes, as Bruce brought out, maybe feel a little smug about it. And then if you're seeing everybody else as atrocious, or, you know, it's easy to turn on the television, you can just go on and on with seeing minds many. So you got to bring it back. You got to hone it down. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that you ignore evil, does it? What does Mrs. Eddy say a wicked mortal is?
A little less than the expression of error.
Thank you. That's it. That's it. So what do we do when we see...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
A wicked mortal?
Oh, okay.
Little else than the expression of error.
Mrs. Eddy, Science and Health. A wicked mortal...
Not God's man.
It's not God's man, no. So, you separate the error from the person. And know that that error will destroy itself because it's not of God. But that the child of God exists. The other thing is, someone said before, a counterfeit. Don't be deceived by it. You know, this ability of the one mind can do what?
Clean up the whole world.
Thank you, Jim. Right answer.
That's right.
You can't sneak anything by it.
Yeah, you can't sneak anything by it. And that's why in our work, when we pray, when we watch, you know, we work for that one mind that was also in Christ Jesus, to work in that one mind. That's effective prayer. not many minds dividing themselves with your own human will, but the one mind that God's will be done. Anyone else?
Oh, thank you. When you are acknowledging God as the only mind, you don't actually have to repeat or see the error or repeat whatever is not true, but just by knowing that God alone is the only mind, you're actually rebuking the error, if there is any evidence of error, without having to repeat that error.
Thank you. That's true. Mm-hmm. And that's why that statement in No and Yes I love so much, about God's law reaches and destroys evil by virtue of the allness of mind.
That's a really important, yes. And that is what James meant when he wrote, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you know beyond a doubt that there's only one mind, and that mind is God, and that mind is good, and that mind is your mind and everybody's mind, if you actually know that without any wavering, you will be a rebuke to error whenever it tries to confront you. But if you have doubts, well, you know,
it'll confront you.
It'll confront you, and it'll try to weasel away into your consciousness and into your experience until you can't stand it anymore.
And you want to argue on the side of good God, not it. Take it from the negative point, but start with God and stay with it.
Right, you argue until you know for sure. Mrs. Eddy even said, you know, she got to the point where she didn't have to argue. It was already clear to her. Jesus didn't have to argue. It was clear to him. That's our example. I have to argue. I know a lot of us do. The arguing isn't what heals. The arguing, as Mrs. Evans used to say, that's tuning the violin.
Yeah. You're tuning the violin to get to where you're there.
And then you play it.
Shardy, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say I don't do enough tuning. I realize that. So I'm off to get to work.
Well, if you play your violin and it's not tuned, what happens?
This chord,
doesn't sound too good. Junior
That's
violin.
Where I am. Yeah,
it doesn't take long. You see them in orchestras before it begins. Just a few moments of tuning up. You have to spend all day in it. Do it.
Thank you.
Right, and how much time should you spend reading the lesson first thing in the morning?
As long as it takes.
As long as it takes to get tuned up. Yeah, exactly.
Good answer. Yep.
Somebody was having an unloving neighbor, but the person engaged in argument with the neighbor, he did not resolve the issue. And I was thinking, how powerful it would have been and how the situation would have been resolved if the person had non-Christian Science and without having to engage with the neighbor, just by knowing the truth in his own end, that what the neighbor was manifesting is not the truth about the neighbor or anyone. By acknowledging God as the only mind that operates in everyone, including his neighbor, the situation would have been resolved. But instead, he chose to engage in argument. But you cannot win an argument but by absolute understanding of God that operates in everyone.
Thank you. Yeah. And if, as a Christian Scientist, you're always finding everything wrong, every people wrong, you know, your experience, you go out and people are mean or cheat or whatever. What does that show?
You're thinking wrongly about people.
You are. You always take it back to yourself.
There's no out there. It's all within.
It's all within.
All in here.
They're reflecting you.
Yes, they are. You bring out, you will bring out what's in your thought. And that includes, you know, even people in your home. And that's sometimes harder because you've lived with them a long time and you think you know them. So you expect certain behavior from them. And you've got to make sure that you correct it. Work at that. You will bring out. That's why Jesus saw the perfect man, didn't he? Where sinning mortal saw, or where mortal saw sinning mortal. And that correct view of man healed the sick. That's Mrs. Eddy, and that's not a correct quote. So what are you seeing? You will bring that out. And this is where you have an ascension or heaven on earth, because the more rightly you think, the better your experience will be. But that doesn't mean... Go ahead. I want to clarify that too, because you know, you look at Christ Jesus or Mrs. Eddy. That doesn't mean that you will not come under attack for your ascension. You will, but you'll have all the power of God behind it to meet it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, one of the most practical things that showed the power of this knowing that there's only one mind was with. Or is with dealing with customer service in, you know, whether it's the television or,
right.
You know, because sometimes it's like, okay, they're going to say such and such, and so then I should bring it home here. I would say, they're going to give me a hard time. I know it. And then I call, and sure enough, yeah, there's somebody so, you know, not so nice. But then to think rightly, no, there's only one mind. Then it corrects everything. I've had so many experiences of this, you know, proving it's good always to say, to know that there is only one mind.
That is wonderful. That is so true. You know, I have too, or I've dreaded some situation. I've got to call somebody, and you just, oh gosh, it's just going to be awful. Well, you set the battle in array. And you will have what you think. And this is why when people say, oh, it takes so much time to pray, who has time to pray? Things cope better when you pray. And how long does it take to correct that negative thought and know that whoever I speak to is another child of God and this will be resolved quickly and well? Doesn't take long. It takes just as long as all your negative thoughts took. And in praying that way, everything works out and you save time. You don't lose it. That's a lie of the devil that tells you you don't have time to pray or think correctly. Of course the devil's going to tell you that. Don't ever think that. Good example. Thank you, Florence.
Yeah, that's a wonderful example because I've been there myself where I want to get something done in a hurry, call somebody. Instead, take 30 seconds and ask God to... Please connect me with whoever or whatever can help me with this problem because I have work to do for you. So you show me what I need to do. You connect me with the right person. And by starting from there, save so much time and anguish. And it might not lead you to a different person, but it will lead you to a different, whole different atmosphere.
Experience, it will. Yes. So all of these are examples of demonstrating the one mind and correcting the belief that there are other minds that you're always having to deal with. They're not. Remember, it's an illusion. It's the Adam dream. And certainly would try to be persuasive. So that's why you have to be strong. And Mrs. Eddy also says that, and I love this statement, immortal ideas, pure and perfect, enduring, are transmitted by the divine mind through divine science, which corrects error with truth and demands spiritual thoughts, divine concepts, to the end, that they may produce harmonious results. So, if you're dealing with some error in something or someone, this is a solution for it. The divine ideas from God are going to correct the error. They're pure, perfect, enduring, and they're transmitted. They come to you from God through Christian Science. And then it says it will demand spiritual thoughts, divine concepts to the end that they may produce harmonious results. Don't stop halfway. Continue with it. Keep at it until you get that harmonious result, because that is the truth of the matter. Many people give up too soon. Or they get angry with God because he's not operating on your timetable.
Fast enough.
Well, there's a saying, and it speaks to this because it's absolutely true. It's always darkest just before the dawn. How many of you experienced struggling through a problem, and you get to where you feel like giving up? You've worked so hard, and it just seems hopeless. That moment, when it seems the most hopeless, is when you're about to succeed and have victory. Because that is the moment that the devil recognizes that it's sunk, and it's putting up its hardest fight. That is what you're feeling when you feel that deep hopelessness.
Yeah, and sometimes everything around you looks worse than ever. You think, oh my gosh, nothing's happening. It's worse than ever. That's when you dig in deeper. What does Mrs. Eddy say? The stronger your faith is in love, the more difficult the experience, the trial you're going through. You're being tested.
The stronger should be our faith, mm-hmm. and the purer our love.
One thing, for those that don't even get as far as you said, you prayed up and made the next step and the right thought, there are times when I need to know that I've been told that, absolutely, don't do this because they'll never succeed, but it is the right way to do it, and you just have to correct your thought and then go forward. It's like a wall that says, No, you don't want to do this, but it's the right way to do it. You just have to do it the right way. And to get beyond that is great. Be blinded by it is terrible.
Yeah, that's often true. That often human opinion will block you from the right answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will, and that's just error being voiced by some person to get you to stop or to get you off track or confused. And that's why a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why you keep going back to God. If you listen to all these human opinions, you will be really...
You go around in circles.
You know, yes, you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gary's given testimony about something in business where he felt so strongly something was wrong. And everybody, all the experts and everyone around him told him he was wrong. But God was telling him he was right, and he had to take this certain action quickly, which he did because he couldn't even sleep. He was tormented. And so he took the action despite everyone telling him he shouldn't. And guess what?
That's right.
It was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing. And it didn't prove itself to be right away, but it did eventually. So that's why, and that's what it means to get into your closet and shut the door.
And then when you do, you trust your spiritual sense. And that's a neat trick. And it's something that doesn't necessarily happen right away for a lot of people. Something you have to cultivate. You have to trust your spiritual sense. When you doubt whether it's spiritual sense that's talking to you or the devil talking to you, well, you do the best you can and learn from it.
But Mrs. Eddy did. And sometimes maybe you don't know. Sometimes I felt I'm not sure, so I just keep taking a step at a time, and listening for God's direction and knowing that, you know, you always have the option, you can change your mind. Mrs. Eddy would sometimes change it at the very last. So
we don't all of us hear God perfectly all the time. So don't be discouraged if you don't. Be willing to learn. Be willing to change direction when you see something more clearly later on. And that is why humility is essential. Because if you don't have humility, you won't learn from your mistakes. And you won't grow closer to God.
Not only that, without humility, when the mistakes do come, they'll put you in a big funk, a big downward spiral. Whereas someone who is humble, and the mistakes do come, it will be a springboard for action. It will propel them forward. Who would want to miss that step? Humility is key.
So true. You've seen it. I've seen it with myself. And there again, that's the pride. Oh, my gosh, I made this mistake. I'm so stupid. Oh, gosh, I'm just as terrible. And I.
What's everybody going to think of me?
Yes, and it's all I. And actually, no one really cares. So, you know, get a grip, as they say. And this is personal sense. This is a personal sense of selfhood apart from God, who, you know, is either all prideful or all shameful. And so, in order to reflect that divine mind, you have to get rid of that false sense of self, and let God move you.
And the higher up you are, either in a business or in a family or in a church or whatever, the more you have to work at it. Because if you've got a, I mean, you see it all around you, don't you? Someone who's in a position of managing people in a business, you know, a lot of them think that they have to know everything and they have to appear to know everything. And to admit a mistake to your subordinates requires a great deal of humility. And good managers, good businesses will do that. And everybody respects it. Same thing in a family. As a parent, you're supposed to know everything, right? You're supposed to set a perfect example for your children. Well, guess what? We don't. But if you can admit a mistake to your child, I made a mistake, and here's what I learned from it. You're giving your children the finest example you could ever give them.
Telling them the truth.
Yeah.
And they'll respect you for it, and then they'll learn to do that too. They'll learn to be able to admit a mistake as well. And in order to get out of a mistake, you first have to admit you've made it, and then you can quickly get out of it. The watching point this week, does anyone know what it was about? Hope you're all reading it each week.
Surplus.
Thank you.
And if you don't know what to do, then, you know, you can treat the birds to fly around or something.
Right. I love that. Yes.
And you know, that's brilliant. I actually, that really sunk in when I read that.
Thank you. Yeah. Good, Tom.
Not that I ever thought to be a practitioner, but, I mean, if you're thinking about being a practitioner and just as an individual, you know, you can always, if you have nothing else to do, you can always bless something, you know.
Absolutely, you can.
Well, if you want to be a Christian Scientist, you can't help but be a practitioner.
Yeah, and it brings out in that if, you know, for instance, if you call a practitioner and they're giving you treatment knowing the truth about you, and then later on in the day they think to themselves, what a real jerk that person. Well, that's not a good practitioner. And whether you call yourself a practitioner or not, you should be mindful of that surplus thinking and control it, rein it in, and think of that. For instance, if you're having a problem with a child or a wife or a friend, watch what you think about them when you're not praying in the morning and knowing the truth. Do you think later, oh gosh, they're so stupid, or oh gosh, they're never going to get it, or whatever? Is that what you're thinking? Well, change that. You're making a mortal law for that person. You're malpracticing on them. Watch that surplus thinking. And yes, we are all practitioners. Go ahead, Florence.
No, I mean, it's so important. It's so, so important, especially those in your home, how you think about them. So important. I can't stress it enough because I've experienced it myself, because your thoughts, what am I thinking? And then when you see the error, you say, oh, there you go. I said they were like this. Well,
yeah,
what
right,
have I been
right.
thinking?
Yeah, it just shows they are. And yet, and then in that state of mind, you miss perhaps all the good that they're doing.
Good. Mm-hmm.
You miss it all. You're just so focused on what's wrong.
Yeah.
You need to bring out, emphasize the positive, bring out what's good, praise that, and bring that forth, and you'll have more of it. And then, of course, you deal with what's not right. You can't ignore it.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't deal it with it, if you don't handle it in your thought or correct it, then what happens to you?
Get in trouble.
Yeah. You can start acting that way. Well, yeah, go ahead. Well, it builds. It builds the air of the resentment. And it just gets worse. And that person is such a jerk, and he's acting. And you just, it just compounds itself.
And you become useless to help the situation.
What struck me yesterday was when you said, if you stay in the surplus thinking, you can't heal. And that's our whole purpose, is healing
right.
the world. And that was
How can you? You can't.
You can't.
Exactly.
No.
You can't.
I think, too, that error just tries to handle the people closest to you, because they're so close to you that you just sometimes do say, well, look, that person is an idiot. I told you he was an idiot.
Oh, that's absolutely right.
You know, justifying the erroneous thinking. It is a struggle. It is a struggle that I've had many, many times. And I still work on that. I have to. And I have to see what it really is. It's never person, place, or thing. But sometimes I do forget that.
And that's personalizing the error, and instead of knowing it is always animal magnetism. Reg Carey used to say that it always comes through the nearest and the dearest. You've got to be aware of that. And if you are, you know, it can be healed. And whoever you live with should be a support to you, not an anchor. And it can be, but it takes work. It doesn't just say, oh, everything's great, everything's fine. In the meantime, you're hating somebody. It's work. You gotta deal with it.
I found something that really helped me, and when I was working through a very difficult claim, and that was a statement that the mortal mind can only hold one thought at that instant. And I realized that if I attack that thought at that instant with a divine attribute or truth, it was so helpful.
Thank you. That's a mortal belief, and that's something, you know, comes to you when you're during your watch. You can't concentrate. You can't think. Your mind's going to go all over the place. That's a mortal belief. You bring it back. You find your thought in church in a few minutes. When you're in church, you'll be working for the service. You start daydreaming about what you're having for dinner, well, that's a sign you're not. You can, that's a mortal belief that you can't focus. God focuses. He is your mind. And you can pray in that holy hour that we have, and our holy watches, and all the other things we do. And that will help you later on with your surplus thinking. It'll become more and more offensive to you when you are thinking in an ungodlike way. And in the lesson, Mrs. Eddy says that Christian Science attributes to Era neither entity nor power, because Era is neither mind nor the outcome of mind, with a capital M. So let us not attribute Era to anything, because it is nothing, but we have to prove it. Now we'll go to miscellaneous writings. There are a couple of questions. The first, on page 59, starting with line 18. Is there anyone who would like to read it? It's the question and answer. It's not very long.
I'll read it.
Go ahead.
Question. Is not all argument mind over mind? Answer. The scriptures refer to God as saying, "Come now and let us reason together." There is but one right mind, and that one should and does govern man. Any co-partnership with that mind is impossible. And the only benefit in speaking often one to another arises from the success that one individual has with another in leading his thoughts away from the human mind or body and guiding them with truth. That individual is the best healer who asserts himself the least, and thus becomes a transparency for the divine mind, who is the only physician. The divine mind is the scientific healer.
Isn't that wonderful? The only benefit in speaking often one to another arises from the success that one individual has with another in leading his thoughts away from the human mind or body. That's the only benefit to talk to anybody. Ask yourself, is that what my conversation is about? Am I healing? Am I bringing that thought up? Am I seeing that person as God's child? And then, what does he say? The best way to do that is to do what?
Assert yourself least.
Yes, and be a
transparency.
Let the sun shine through you. Let God shine through you. I am the spot where God shines through. He and I are one, not two. He wants me where and as I am. I will not worry, fret, nor plan. But if I'll be relaxed and free, he'll carry out his plan for me. So you be that spot where God shines through, and you be uplifting. You don't get into gossip and other such nonsense. Okay, and then one more on page 60, the last question, which goes on to the next page. Anyone like to read that one? Carol?
If mortal mind and body are myths, what is the connection between them and real being and real identity? And why are there as many identities as mortal bodies? Evil in the beginning claimed the power, wisdom, and utility of good, and every creation or idea of spirit has its counterfeit in some matter belief. Every material belief hints the existence of spiritual reality. And if mortals are instructed in spiritual things, it will be seen that the material belief in all its manifestations, reversed, will be found the type and representative of verity priceless, eternal, and just at hand. The education of the future will be instruction in spiritual science against the material, symbolic, counterfeit sciences. All the knowledge and vain strivings of mortal mind that lead to death, even when aping the wisdom and magnitude of immortal mind, will be swallowed up by the reality and omnipotence of truth over error and of life over death.
Isn't that magnificent? Mrs. Eddy answers all our questions. This expresses the oneness of the divine mind. And that one statement, if mortals are instructed in spiritual things, it will be seen that material beliefs in all its manifestations reversed will be found the type and representative of verities priceless, eternal, and just at hand. You live with that one, because that's the truth. Don't be deceived by the counterfeit. And the bell rung, so that will be the end. We will go forward to a wonderful service in which we will focus and be in that one mind. Thank you all for joining us today and contributing.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.